The enthusiasm of a couple of months ago about resuming normal activities has been dashed by the resurgence of COVID-19. We've seen both a curtailment of some arts activities, like concerts and plays, and a decision by Southern Oregon University to postpone in-person classes until the middle of October rather than in late September. Both of those categories of events affect our first guest, who both teaches music and conducts bands, concert bands. Christine Lundahl is the new artistic director of the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band, plus an assistant professor at Southern Oregon University and a director of bands there. Dr. Lundahl, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hi there. Thank you so much.
This is quite a time in history to have a career based on breathing hard into tubes, isn't it?
It really is, yes. And this is the very beginning of this part of my career as well. So I'm entering in a very interesting time.
No doubt. You just got your doctorate. What brought you to the Rogue Valley?
Well, I got my doctorate at the University of Michigan. I spent 3 years in Ann Arbor. I'm originally from Florida. And, just applied to jobs all over the country and was offered a few of them. And I got a chance to visit here back in April and really just fell in love with the place. Loved the professors that I got a chance to work with, loved the people that I met. It was really beautiful. You know, there was not nearly as much smoke back in April. So just really fell in love with the feel of the place and the opportunities I would have had at the school. So I knew this was the right fit for me.
It will clear up again. I'm sure I'm not the first person to assure you of that.
I've had many people that are just very concerned about my impression of the place. And so everyone has been, you know, furiously telling me it will get better soon. So I'm looking forward to that.
So Dr. Lundahl, help people understand, is the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band part of Southern Oregon University? Does it stand on its own? How is it related, if at all?
It is a completely separate entity. The last couple of years, the director of the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band and the director of the Wind Ensemble was the same person. And so he actually put the ensembles together so that they could play together. But starting this year, that's not going to happen anymore. So we're having two entirely different entities. We'll have a few students that play in the ensemble and a few of the members play with SOU as well, but they do stand alone.
So your work with our Rogue Valley Symphonic Band is in addition to being director of bands at SOU?
That's correct.
Wow. Does that mean you conduct all the bands or just oversee other conductors?
I conduct all the bands here, yeah. There's an athletic band that Brian Jeffs is the conductor of, but I got to help out with the band camp last week, so that was quite a bit of fun. But essentially, I'm conducting the wind ensemble and the jazz band here.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk Rogue Valley Symphonic Band first, then move back to SOU. What is a symphonic band?
Oh, a symphonic band is a large number of wind players and percussionists that meet and perform concert music, essentially.
All right, so the only thing missing is the strings and that stuff?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so is there a niche to be found there for Rogue Valley Symphonic Band between, say, the Ashland City Band and the Rogue Valley Symphony? Is that essentially the space you occupy?
Exactly, yeah. So the City Band meets just during the summer, and they typically play older standards, and they have a lot of members that have been doing it for many, many years, and the symphony obviously plays orchestral works, but what we do and what has been done, especially in the last few years, is playing more new works for wind ensemble and more diverse repertoire as well, that more living composers and that kind of thing.
So give an example of the kinds of pieces that the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band plays and also how much that might change under your leadership now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last concert they had was back in February of 2020 before everything shut down. And I'm looking at the program right now, and every single one of the composers that wrote the pieces is a living composer. So they played Samuel Hayes' Arabesque, John Mackey's Sheltering Sky, Frank DeKelly's Angels in the Architecture, and so on. And these are all pieces that have been written in the last 20 years.
And is that stuff that you're likely to stick with, or do you have some other ideas for how you'd like to push the direction of repertoire for the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band?
Yeah, absolutely. Several of those composers are good friends of mine, and they're fantastic works, and so I definitely want to continue that direction. Something that's very important to me and that's been brought up in the wind ensemble world in this past few years is how much of the space has been occupied for most of the life of the wind ensemble by non-living composers or composers that were white or men. And so in the last few years, there have been a really big push in the world of bands is making sure that the more diverse voices are represented. So that's going to be something that I really want to bring to this ensemble, is finding incredible pieces of music that are written by underrepresented voices in our world.
Is that push then also encouraging people to compose more music for symphonic bands?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is, they were already composing quite a bit. It just wasn't literature that was well known. And so what's great is that there's all these different bands now that are finally performing these pieces by these composers, and everyone's realizing what incredible music they've been missing out on. And so that's what I'm really excited to do with this group, is just share this incredibly new repertoire of music that hasn't been heard before now.
Christine Lundahl is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the new artistic director of the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band, also an assistant professor of instrumental music and the new director of bands at Southern Oregon University, giving us a glimpse of life in wind ensembles at a time when we're trying to keep people apart and not blowing wind on each other. 800-838-3760 by phone if you'd like to join the conversation with your questions and comments, or just send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. So who is the membership then of the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band? Are these people who play in other ensembles? I mean, some of them are your students, you mentioned.
A few of them, yeah. The majority of them are people that live in the Rogue Valley. Many of them have been playing with ensemble since its inception back in the 80s. The leader of the city band, Don Beagler, actually is a member of the band as well. There's quite a few members of that group. We have some of the Rogue Valley Symphony members in our group as well. So it's a very talented group of people.
And I don't know, I wonder what the general mood is among people, particularly those who play wind instruments, frustrated by the lack of venues to play and the chance to even practice.
So it's been tough. The fact that we haven't played together as an ensemble since February of last year, it's tough. You know, everyone loves to play their instrument. It's definitely a joy to do so. And so there's a lot of excitement, and our first rehearsal is this upcoming Monday. So I know there's a lot of excitement to get that going again. But yeah, there is a little bit of fear going forward, of course, you know, because of everything that's going on. And so I've done my best to talk to the members of the ensemble and go through the mitigations that we are taking to make sure that everyone can remain as safe as possible.
What kinds of mitigations?
So all of the members will be masked at all times unless they're playing their instruments. They're going to be spaced. There's going to be social distancing in the rehearsal itself. We have purchased bell covers for the instruments, and these actually cover the ends of the instruments. All of the aerosols that are coming out of the instruments will be contained. So, you know, if we wear masks to cover our mouths, we'll have masks for the instruments as well. And also, we're going to be rehearsing in a space that is very well ventilated and provides for the social distancing that we need.
An indoor space?
It'll be indoor, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I want to talk about, you mentioned trying to get some more diversity in the composers, and I notice your academic work has focused on diversifying music programming and music education for Title I mm-hmm. schools with large numbers of students from low-income families. I mean, can and will that figure in your approach with Rogue Valley Symphonic Band?
Not as much with the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band. We'll do, I would very much love to do concerts in the schools and to possibly, you know, once all this blows over, do some touring. But most of that will be focused with the SOU students that I have, and specifically the students who are going to be going out that are music education majors that will be going out and teaching in the classrooms.
Okay, so before I ask about initiatives in that vein at SOU, let me ask generally, though, about the difficulty of performing and teaching through the last year and a half and what's been learned about trying to work in either socially distanced groups or just playing remotely.
Yeah, so my last year at Michigan was completely, you know, in this space that we're in right now. And it was very difficult at first. There was a lot of fear in being back in person. We were actually in person the entire time, and specifically in ensembles. You know, there's a lot of other classes that you can do via Zoom or online that really aren't affected because the teacher's lecturing and students are there and it's not a problem. But with ensembles, there's just no way to have an ensemble online effectively. It definitely takes away from student learning. So we actually met in person completely. We had smaller ensembles so that they can be evenly spaced apart. You know, we had to do room rest where we'd play for 40 minutes and then, you know, leave the room for 20 minutes and then come back again. And it was pretty frustrating at first, but we got the hang of it. And we're honestly very grateful to be able to continue making music in person. And I know a lot of schools in the country weren't able to. So there was a lot of joy in being able to do that. And honestly, you know, the fears were unfounded because there was not a single transmission in any of the rehearsals. You know, there were people that got the virus, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. But in the rehearsal itself, there was not a single transmission, which is why I feel very safe doing this as well.
Because of the precautions you took.
Because of the precautions we took, exactly. Right. And I have professors all over the country and friends all over the country that are doing the exact same thing, that are having rehearsals right now completely safely and not a single transmission.
All right, interesting to hear about the bell covers. It's, you know, the necessity, once again, the mother of invention, I guess, that we figure out things to keep the instruments safer.
Exactly. Things you wouldn't have even thought of a couple of years ago that are all of a sudden, you know, part of our vernacular now.
Yeah, part of the required equipment, what do you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Christine Lundahl is our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange, artistic director, new artistic director of the Rogue Valley Symphonic Band, also assistant professor of instrumental music and director of bands at Southern Oregon University. So a couple of hats being worn here by somebody relatively new to the Rogue Valley. You can join us on the Exchange, both your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 on the phone, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So back to the educational initiatives you've undertaken. What kinds of programs have you taken part in or set up to help get people from diverse backgrounds into music?
Well, so I taught in Florida, in Orlando specifically, and my first school that I taught at was at a high school in Kissimmee, Florida. And it was completely 100% free reduced lunch, which was a Title I school. And the students there, the program was very small, and I was able to grow the program quite a bit while I was there. I had college students come in and give free lessons to those students. I had members of the community donate money and donate instruments to get them, you know, in their hands, because, I mean, instruments are quite expensive. So having those donations was really helpful. I had a lot of scholarships that were able to go out to get students that went to summer music programs, that got a chance to go to colleges to audition. There were a lot of different things that typically students at those schools don't get to do, and it was really enjoyable for me to be able to provide those opportunities for them when they wouldn't have otherwise been able to.
Talk about that expense part. I mean, imagine for a poor family, buying something like a trumpet would be a lot. How much is it?
Oh, a trumpet's not usually too expensive, a couple hundred bucks, but some of the other instruments, you know, they can be quite a bit. And what's cool about the band world is that there's so many people that have done it that just have an old trumpet sitting in their closet they haven't looked at in 20 years. And so we were able to get quite a few of those just donated. We put a call out, said, hey, if you have an instrument just laying around, please donate it to our program. We went out to pawn shops and found some instruments as well. So we were able to get instruments in every student's hands, which was wonderful.
Sounds like a lot of the hours of the day taken up with just trying to provide for the students.
It was, but it was really a joy for me to see the little light in their eyes when they got a chance to actually be a part of this. It was a lot of fun for them.
And what kind of, did some of them stay with music? Did they keep doing it even if they didn't do it as a professional thing after school?
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a few of them majored in music or currently, you know, this was 15 years ago, so they, you know, are currently band directors themselves and are doing the exact same thing that I was able to do for their students now. So it's really a joy to see what I was able to do and see it being passed on. And I'm still in touch with most of them and see the impact that music has had on their lives, even after they graduated.
Christine, do you have to stay constantly braced in this field, though? I mean, when budgets get cut in recessions, the cuts usually start with music and arts, don't they?
Sometimes. I haven't had that experience. You know, I've always had a very strong administration that supported me, and I've made a strong case for, you know, how important music is in our schools. And so in my experience, I haven't ever felt threatened that we would lose it.
Mm-hmm. And talk about the relationship generally between Southern Oregon University and public schools. I mean, because you're training a generation of music teachers here too, aren't you, in addition to performers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are quite a few SOU grads that are currently teaching in the Valley right now. And so what's been fun, I actually arrived to Ashland back in July, and the last month or so, I've gotten a chance to go out to 5 different high schools in the area and a couple different middle schools as well, and teach at their band camps and make sure that they knew who I am and offer my services to the directors in the area. And I really want to have a very strong relationship with all the public schools in the area so that they know that, you know, we can have students that go and practice being music teachers in their classrooms. And in turn, they're getting some help from the collegiate level. And, you know, I would love to go and work with their rehearsal, you know, work a rehearsal for them or teach lessons or teach sectionals and help them in any way that I can. And building that relationship with the schools in the area is something that's really important to me.
Are the skills similar in teaching somebody to play an instrument in front of people versus teaching somebody how to teach somebody how to play an instrument in front of people?
You know, I think it's the same as any skill. Once you having the skill and then teaching someone how to teach that skill. If you have the skill yourself, you're better at teaching someone how to have that skill as well. So I think it is similar. You know, of course, playing an instrument and then being a teacher, there are two completely different skills. And so the music education students that we have here, there are all sorts of fun classes they can take to learn how to be a better leader and how to, you know, discipline students if they need to, or all the things that happen in a classroom that maybe you don't think about when you're just playing an instrument.
And what instrument do you play?
Instruments. I'm a trumpet player.
Trumpet, okay. So that's how you knew the price of a trumpet right off the bat. But yeah, you probably know all the band instruments. Yeah, no doubt.
I do. Yeah, that's one of the fun things about being a music education major is you actually get to learn how to play all the different instruments.
So
the trumpet is my first true love.
First true love. Okay. So down to our last minute here, how do you encourage people first to get into the field and second be realistic about the challenges of making a living in music in America?
Goodness, that is a good question. So I just think I have the most fun job in the whole world. I absolutely love what I do. I love teaching middle school, teaching high school, and now the fact that I get to teach college, I've really enjoyed it quite a bit. And I think that any student who enjoys music and enjoys working with students as well will be a good music teacher. You know, there are schools all over the country, and even in the last year, there were several band programs that needed new people, and there's always going to be a need for new music educators that are passionate and love what they do. And So I you know, all of my students, I feel very comfortable in telling them that if you love this and if you're good at it, you will get a job and you'll have a lot of job security as well, because what we do is incredibly important.
Christine Lundahl at Rogue Valley Symphonic Band in Southern Oregon University, thank you so much.